Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Center for Science and Culture. I'm Robert Crowther, and joining me today is Robert Marks, the Distinguished Professor of Engineering at Baylor University and a senior researcher at the Evolutionary Informatics Lab. Dr. Marks was the chair of the IEEE Neural Networks Committee, the first president of the IEEE Neural Networks Council, and for 6 years was editor-in-chief of their journal, the IEEE Transactions on Neural Networks. I could go on and on, but I'm going to try and keep this podcast as listenable as possible. So without further ado, welcome to ID the Future, Dr. Marks.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for inviting me.
It's great to have you here, and I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into the deep end, so to speak, and ask you about your new book, Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics, which I should let people know is available at Amazon.com. It sounds like something maybe out of a science fiction novel for people that aren't familiar with it. So maybe you can just start by giving us a quick elevator ride overview of evolutionary informatics and how you got into the book.
Okay, the basic premise of Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics is there exists no model successfully describing undirected Darwinian evolution. We look at all the models that have been presented and show exactly how they don't work. Then we make some positive contributions also in something called algorithmic specified complexity. It sounds highfalutin, but the basic idea is how do you look at something and you measure in bits the degree to which it's designed. And then there's also at the end of the book, a relationship between artificial intelligence, which is really being hyped these days, and intelligent design. You notice artificial intelligence and intelligent design both have the word intelligence in them. And there's actually a linkage there, which is very interesting. But all this started way back in 2007. I was at Baylor University with Walter Bradley. Walter is one of the pioneers of intelligent design, writing in, I believe it was 1984 with Thaxton and Olson, right, a book called The Mystery of Life's Origins. And he got together like-minded people, myself and William Dembski, and that was the first time that I ever met Bill. And I had read some of his stuff and was impressed with him. I told him I really enjoyed his work. I mentioned that I had a background in evolutionary computing, and we started talking, and we really resonated. And we started to do some work together. Winston Ewart was added later, and that was the genesis of our research. And the book, Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics, is an explanation of the agglomeration of all of our research, but made accessible to the lay public. In other words, we wrote a lot of papers, but those papers were directed for nerds, so they had a lot of equations and things like that in it. So we made this book, which is accessible more to a general audience.
Yes, I appreciate that because I am not a nerd, and math and so on is where I start to fall apart if I'm trying to read something like that. So your book, though, is really readable. And I think for general science enthusiasts and people like that interested in intelligent design and evolution and those kinds of issues, it would be perfectly suitable for them at a level that the rest of us can understand. You mentioned a couple of things in explaining the book, what's in it. One of the things you mentioned was about intelligent design and artificial intelligence both having intelligence in them. And I found that kind of interesting because it seems rather self-obvious that if you have artificial intelligence, it's not natural intelligence, it's artificial intelligence. It must have been built, engineered, designed, put together somehow. Isn't that right?
Well, the basic connection is as follows. As I mentioned, there exists no model successfully describing undirected Darwinian evolution. So if the evolutionary process did happen, and our assumption that there is no model, there's no algorithm, there's no recipe, if you will, for Darwinian evolution, means that it's non-computable. Well, a lot of the hype that we see today in artificial intelligence also addresses things which are not computable. And this doesn't come out in the hype when people like Bill Gates and Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking came out and said the artificial intelligence is going to be the boogeyman of the future.
Right.
But in fact, there are fundamental limitations on computers. And one of them is the ability to compute things. And there are undisputably things which you can't compute. In fact, every freshman computer science major is shown things which you can't compute. And some of these are things such as understanding, consciousness, and certainly creativity. Computers will never be creative. So we'll never see things like in the Terminator where people come out and are afraid of computers taking over the world. Computers are not going to gain consciousness. They're going to have a big impact in our lives, but they're not going to gain consciousness like in the Terminator or the Matrix or some of these other great science fiction films.
So, and this is exactly the kind of thing that you're talking about in Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics. How do we know what is computable, what's knowable? How do we measure that, right?
Yes. In fact, one of the first things that Bill and I did when we met is look at evolutionary computing from my perspective, a whole new perspective, because I had a background in evolutionary computing, but Bill was introducing these ideas that the Darwinian models were actually sneaking information in from the side. And this was covered very nicely in his book, No Free Lunch. Well, I looked at it and came up with actually a measure of how we could actually measure the degree of information which is infused into a search. And it was a measure that we could actually measure in bits. And I called it active information. Bill was more clever in these things and dubbed it active information. And that's what it's called even today. And that was our first paper, which was published in 2009 in the IEEE Transactions on Systems Managed Cybernetics, one of the leading engineering journals. And it was exciting because at the time, ID was being criticized for not having any peer-reviewed publications. And here we were. We had a very nice peer-reviewed journal publication. It won the ARN Top Prize for Evolution News of the Year because of that fact. And then we went on and we looked at something called the search for the search. Everybody says, well, you know, evolution happens because, gosh, we're just lucky. Well, what happens if you search for a good search in evolution? And we showed that that was exponentially more difficult. So if you kick the can down the road, the can gets bigger. It gets more difficult. And that was our second publication.
So just to be clear, because it's something that I'm still trying to get my head around when you talk about search for search. In evolution, search is finding what? What are they exactly searching for? And then how do you search for that?
Exactly. That's a good point. It turns out that my field in computational intelligence, which is a kind of an area of machine intelligence, there are hundreds of different search algorithms, and every engineer has a few of their favorites. And it used to be, before 1998, everybody thought that maybe their search algorithm could beat up somebody else's search algorithm. But in 1998, Wolpert and McCready came out with a great paper, classic paper, that kind of disrupted the machine intelligence community by saying that in general, one search on average was no better than any other search if you didn't have domain expertise, if you brought no information about what you were trying to accomplish. So therefore, a search for a search could be looked at as choosing from this incredibly long list of search algorithms, or even more generally, trying to come up with a computer algorithm to do your search in the most efficient manner possible. And that's what we call the search for the search.
Right. So in Darwinian evolution, of course, there's no end game sort of plan. It's an unguided process. So that's exactly what you're talking about. There's no infused information.
That is one of the things we hear. But if you look at the models of evolution, which have been proposed from the biologists, and I'm speaking specifically of computer simulations such as AVIDA and EV, all of those do have a target. They are teleological. And so those that say, well, evolution isn't a search, okay, that's fine. I can accept that. But like Billy Joel said, we didn't start the fire.
Yeah, right.
We didn't start the fire.
I think that's right.
We're not the ones that started evolution as a search. It was the people that proposed AVIDA. It was the people that proposed EV. There was an evolutionary program which was proposed to solve something called a Steiner tree problem. There was stuff in the National Academy of Sciences which were published. These were all proposed as searches. And so therefore, we said, okay, let's look at the evolutionary process as a search. Now, there has been different models, such as Tierra, that weren't actually a teleological search. Their idea is to set up a computer environment and a computer organism and make that so rich in information that we're going to see something like the Cambrian explosion.
Wow.
In fact, the guy that wrote Tierra, that was his goal, to recreate the Cambrian explosion. But he tried it and it didn't work and he abandoned it, and there's still work going on in so-called open-ended evolution, but that's also going to be doomed to failure, I believe.
Wow. Well, this whole issue is kind of open-ended, so we will explore some of those things, I'm sure, on future episodes of ID the Future with Dr. Marks. I want to thank you for joining us today. Robert Marks' new book, co-authored with William Dembski and Winston Yurt, is called Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics. It's published by World Scientific Publishing, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
That is correct.
And it's available most easily online at Amazon.com. Again, that's Introduction to Evolutionary Informatics. And if you want more information about Dr. Marks and his research, you can check out the Evolutionary Informatics Lab online at evoinfo.org. That's evoinfo.org.
And by the way, you should spell it, because my wife says it sounds like evil info. It isn't evil. It's evoinfo.org.
Yes, so. That is correct. Good point. All right. For ID the Future, I'm Robert Crowther. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.